Welcome back to Aliyah Yomi. Today we're going to be learning Achrei Mois Chamishi, the fifth Aliyah in Parshas Achrei Mois. The topic of our Aliyah is the laws of holy sacrifice. It is 14 psukim long, running from Perek Yud Zayin Ches to Perek Yud Ches Hey. Let's take a look at some of the details that are in this Aliyah. A basic overview is the first mitzvah, which is described over here, is the idea of what's called Shchutei Chutz, that people are not allowed to shecht animals for korbanos outside of the Pesach Ol Moed, the entrance of the Tent of Meeting. If they do, v'nichras ha'ish ha'u me'amov, that is considered a sin if which a person is excommunicated from Israel. So it's a very serious sin. Then we hear, and the next halacha, which is applied to all Jews, all those who convert to Judaism, anybody who eats blood, asher yochal kol dam, Hashem says, "Nosati panav nefesho acheres esadam." I'm going to cut off that person. I'm going to spend time focusing on punishing that person as well. Why? Ki nefesh basar badamhu. The soul is in the blood, and you're not allowed to eat it. That's the second mitzvah. The third mitzvah we have over here is ish ish mi bnei Israel. So if anybody in Israel or of the converts, asher yatzud tzed chaya or of, will hunt a wild kosher animal or a bird, asher ye'ochel, that can be eaten, v'shafach es domo v'kiso be'afar, it needs to be covered, the blood, when slaughtered, needs to be covered in dust. This is the mitzvah of what's called kisui hadam, of covering the blood. So again, also related to sacrifice, to slaughter, these are the ideas. And we hear that anybody who eats a nevela or trefa, anybody who eats a non-kosher, an animal which is not killed properly or is not appropriate to eat, that person actually receives tumah. They need to they're impure, and they need to they will need to go to the mikveh, change their clothes, the whole business, in order to become pure again. So it's not just a well called isur v'heter, where it's allowed or not allowed. It's also purity and impurity, which is connected to that action. Finally, the Aliyah concludes with the first paragraph of Perek Yud Ches, in which we're told that we are not allowed to do Kamaasei Eretz Mitzrayim Asher Yashavtem Ho'elo Sasso. You're not allowed to act like the Egyptian culture in which the nation of Israel just left. And Kamaasei Eretz Canaan, like the Canaanite culture which they're about to enter into. They cannot do, and it cannot go in their ways. You need to guard the precepts, the concepts of the Torah, and live with them, Ani Hashem, says Hashem, I am your God. So a number of very basic points to ponder. Number one is, why is eating blood so bad? What is so negative about this? So the Orach HaMakadosh explains that the soul of a Israelite comes from a very, very lofty place. Although, yes, you can look at the body and measure it and put it under the same biological tests, and it'll come out looking the same as any other person or as a primate for all intents and purposes. In the end of the day, the soul of an Israelite, which is not measured with the tools and the logic of the biological world, the world of medicine and science, that soul comes from a very, very lofty place, and it's connected to this body as its platform. But the soul of an animal does have a soul. There's a few layers of soul. There's five basic layers of soul: nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaya, and yechida. As the Ramchal explains, the lowest level of soul, which is sort of the instinctual being, which animates even animals, is the nefesh. Animals also have that as well. But that comes from the lowest level of spirituality. Even it's a metaphysical reality too. And what gives life, essentially. And when a person consumes the blood of an animal, in a certain sense, they're imbibing some of that lower spiritual entity into the loftier spiritual entity. And it goes straight into the bloodstream. This is something which is seen as metaphysically, spiritually very damaging, which is why this mitzvah is as such as well. Now, what kind of punishment does a person get for this? The Malbim points out, you'll notice over here that it says, "Onosati ponai bohem," I'll give my face to them, says Hashem, to so to speak, focus on them. The Malbim points out that there's two different ways Hashem can punish us. One is he can remove himself completely from the picture, and that's called hester ponim, where Hashem's presence is not felt, and in the void, in the vacuum of Hashem's existence, that's when dangerous and terrible things happen. That's one version. The other one is Hashem could actually focus and punish on that person directly, and that's what's happening in this case over here as well. What does it mean that the soul is in the blood? What does it mean that the soul is actually to be found in the blood? Just in common terms today. This is actually a matter of dispute. And so some of the Mefarshim explain that this refers to perhaps all of the blood. Other Mefarshim say, no, it's the first blood that comes out when an animal or when a person is killed or slaughtered. It's that lifeblood. Others say, well, it's the amount of blood that remains that can keep the body functional, even if the rest of the blood has been removed. So the first blood that comes out is not where the soul is, it's the blood that keeps the system functioning as well. Rabbi Arya Kaplan has a very fascinating observation in a footnote on his translation to the Derech Hashem of the Ramchal, in which he argues, based on Kabbalistic sources, the writings of the Arizal, that perhaps the notion of this loftier part of the blood in which the soul, the lowest part of the soul, is found, this connection between the metaphysical and the physical, is actually found in the loftiest aspect of the human body, which is, in fact, the neural pathway. So when it says that Badam, it refers to the blood, yes, it does refer to blood physically, but it also can be referring to the notion of where's the soul found. Is the neural pathways, the synapses in which transmit these electronic signals and pulses through that network. That could be also another possibility as to understanding what's going on over here as well. What is the mitzvah kisui adam? What this covering of the blood, and why is it here? So the Orach HaMakarish says there's actually three mitzvahs over here, and he makes a very stunning observation in which he says when a person says asher yatzud chayav ha'oif, that a person will hunt a bird and a wild animal which can be eaten, like we're talking about, let's say a goose or a deer, things that need to be hunted. Those are kosher animals. He points out that it is clear here from the Torah does not want us to be hunting animals which we can't eat. So the idea of hunting for fun, the Orach HaMakarish points out, is not a value in the Torah. In fact, this is an implicit mitzvah against it. You can only hunt things you can eat. So going out there and just going to hunt lions or rhinoceroses is not a Torah value at all. In addition, over here, there's another two mitzvahs, and that is we cannot allow to drink the blood of wild animals which are kosher, and then we also need to cover the blood. So three mitzvahs here, not hunting animals we cannot eat, not drinking the blood of wild animals, even though they're kosher, and covering the blood. The Torah Orach explains, he quotes this over here, and he quotes Rabbi Avraham, who says that this is to avoid the misimpression that this was a sacrifice, that this is actually a sacrifice, and it took place outside of the Mishkan or the Migdash, which is why Kisui Adam is needed, why you need to cover it, so you don't want it to look like you're doing Shkutei Chutz, which is the topic of the beginning of our Aliyah as well. The Bechor Shor, Yosef Bechor Shor, has his own perspective over here, is that this idea is to show the kavod, the respect we give to mitzvahs, right? So you're allowed to shech these animals, but you treat the animal respectfully. This is not just a slaughterhouse, you do whatever you want, where you want. No, there's a way to do this in a respectful manner, and that's what's being taught to us over here. Clay Yaakov points out that the idea of the mitzvah kisui adam is only by animals which are kosher but are hunted. So a regular domesticated animal, a cow or a goat, does not require kisui adam. And the reason for that is because by those animals, seeing as they are brought upon the mizbeach, there is already a notion of their sanctity. When it comes to these animals, which are not usually brought on the mizbeach, you don't bring a deer on or a goose on the mizbeach, then in those cases, you need our kisui adam to remind us of the values when eating these as well. That's why there is an extra added mitzvah, because it does not usually happen in the context of the mizbeach. What is the last pasuk of our Aliyah talking about? We hear asher yaseh osam ha'adam v'chai bohem, that a person needs to do these mitzvahs in order to live by them. So the Gemara in Yomadaf Hey Amud Beis tells us a very powerful statement. This is one of the sources for the fact that a person is supposed to live by the Torah and not die by the Torah. And this is the reason why we know that a person is expected to give up their lives for three cardinal sins, or under certain circumstances, public reneging of religion. But otherwise, a person is meant to transgress most of the commandments in order to live. The Torah is meant to live. Rav Soloveitchik comments in such a beautiful observation. He says, the law is the watchword of Judaism. The teachings of the Torah do not oppose the laws of life and reality. For were they to clash with this world, were they to negate the value of concrete physiological, biological existence, then they would contain not mercy, loving kindness, and peace, but vengeance and wrath. Even if there is only a doubtful possibility that a person's life is in danger, one renders a lenient decision, and as long as one is able to discover some possible danger to life, one may use that doubt to render a lenient decision. Just understand the value system of the Torah. The Torah celebrates life. It sometimes asks us to make sacrifices, but it's not at the cost of life. And finally, one last point is, what is the notion of the actions of the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan over here? So you see an interesting thing. You see, first it takes the country they came from and the country they're going to. And as Rosh Soloveitchik actually points out, those two countries, Egypt and Canaan, in which they are in between, could not be more different from each other. Egypt was an urbanized, sophisticated reality, whereas Canaan was a rural and primitive society. Yet both of them had immorality. Both of them had values which were not those of Judaism. And throughout all of history, Jews have spent time in very sophisticated societies and very backwards and primitive societies. And yet again, Judaism is the perennial question mark on all cultures, is the perennial calling of a higher value system which does not align itself necessarily with the societies of the world. Slowly but surely, over time, those societies have slowly aligned with Judaic values. But that is not because Judaism is moving towards them, but rather they move towards the values of Judaism. With this, we conclude the fifth Aliyah. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.